Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Again, I look forward to our video, our time together, so we'll get right into it. You know we always are endeavoring to encourage you to open your heart to a greater experience with God so your relationship can become much more fun, where you're enjoying His presence, His voice, where the things in Scripture come alive for you too, not just for Adam and for Moses and for others that are there, but they come alive for you so that you can get answers to your prayers and have wonderful testimonies just like those in the Scriptures. Almost, you could say, you become the 29th chapter of Acts. You say, well, there's only 28. Well, I know, but you become the 29th. In other words, your testimonies and your life and your experience is something that people will want to read, just like we see over in Second Corinthians. And we see over in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, where Paul talked to those individuals and said, you're like a manifested epistle of Christ. In other words, your lives can be read by other people. That's what we're talking about. That's how good Jesus is. Well, real quickly, we'll go ahead and give you our same scripture because I want you to get so familiar with this, you can quote it with me. Matthew 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible says, now Jesus resumed talking with the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. Don't you like that part? That you're actually interacting with the Father to the point where you're saying things and doing things that are just exactly what the Father wants you to do and say. And he goes on to say, this is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies. No one knows the Father the way the Son does, nor the Son the way the Father does. But I'm not keeping this to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you willing to listen? I believe you are. That's why you're on this program. And me too. And he went on to say, are you tired? Worn out, burned out on religion. Let me just ask this question. You don't have to raise your hand because I couldn't see it anyhow. But how many of you are tired, worn out, and burned out on religion? I mean, you feel like you're going in circles. Do you know, I kind of know the answer because I field questions all the time. People write me emails all the time. I talk to people on the phone all the time. And let me just tell you, it is very difficult for individuals. They find themselves really, really, really struggling with the whole religious concept of continuing to spin their wheels, and they're tired of it. Jesus went on to say, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Notice, keep company with Jesus. What are you going to do if you keep company with Jesus? Is it going to be this just ho-hum life where your countenance is downcast and you just feel like life's so difficult, like you see people that sit in the church buildings? Come on, I don't mean to be making anybody mad here, but I'm a preacher. I go all over the country and around the world, and I sit there, and there's times you see people that are alive. They must have something that's real. And there's others that just sit there, and they're enduring everything that you're doing. Why? Because there must not be something real between them and God. And this is what keeping company with God means, where you can live light and freely. Man, I tell you what, when you go to the ball game or you go to your concert and you go to on a walk in the park, there's a skip in your step. Man, I tell you what, there's a glide in your slide. A glide in your stride. That's awesome. Come on, think about it. People have enjoyment about a lot of things because they're connected to them. We enjoy God and Jesus because we're connected. And the more connected you are, the more you enjoy. So here we are jumping right in here. We've got just a few moments left, maybe about 5 or 6 minutes left. But I want to pick right up because we left off over in Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4, where it says, He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on the earth, you'll show up to Him. In other words, you're in Him and He's in you. And it's your spirit that is the real you. And this is the person that we're becoming very aware of, is our spirit and God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, who lives in our spirit. That's where our connection is made, in our heart. Amen. Our spirit, the inner part of our life. Well, over here in 1 Peter chapter 3, 3 through 5, this is beautiful. It talks here about do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing of gold, and putting on of fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Notice here that Peter's making reference to the fact that we can become very, very, very tuned in, fine-tuned into making our hair just perfect and making everything just perfect about our outer life. But he says, that's not where life is. Life really is lived out of the inner life, out of that hidden person of the heart. Who is that hidden person? Well, over in Colossians, it talked about even though invisible to spectators, that's your spirit, the real you. Even though invisible to spectators, your spirit is the person you are. In other words, it might be good for you to begin to say to yourself on a regular basis, thank God I'm a spirit. And my spirit's connected to God because he lives in my spirit. If God lives in my spirit, then I can hear God as well as I can hear myself. In other words, let's just ask yourself the question, can you hear yourself think? And of course, you don't need to answer that because everybody can hear themselves think. Well, if you can hear yourself think, you can hear God think because he lives inside of you. I'm going to say it one more time before I go on. You might get caught there and miss what I'm going to say next. Can you hear yourself think? The answer is yes. Sometimes I can't turn my mind off. Okay, good. If you can hear yourself think, you can hear God think in you because he lives in you. This is an important point. All of it is to do what? Become more aware of the real relationship that abides within your own spirit. Don't have to go somewhere to find him. He's right there with you. Amen. Come on, just another couple of minutes here. I know time's flying, but I want to come back to this part over here in John chapter 4, 23 to 24 in the Message Bible. I love what it says. It says, it's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Now, if you take that with a religious connotation, you're right back into works. I got to do the right thing. I got to make sure I don't do the wrong thing. Well, Paul told us over in Romans chapter 7, that kind of lifestyle, that'll about eat your lunch. He said, the things I'm trying not to do, I end up doing. And the things I want to do, I don't do them. He said, woe is me. Who can set me free from this cat chasing its tail life? And I never make it to the end goal. Well, of course, he went on to say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus who can. When he says it's who you are and the way you live that count before God, he's talking about your perspective. And that's all we're doing is endeavoring to change your perspective from you thinking your life is all about the things that you do in this life that pertain to your flesh and the world. That is not the real you. It may be what you're consumed with because it's what you do on a daily basis in a big manner and a big way. But we've got to change your perspective so that you can see it's who you are and the way you live. In other words, the choices you make that connect you constantly to what? To Jesus being real to you. What did he say at the very end of the 30th verse? Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. See, it's the companionship. It's keeping company with you. It's the consistency of recognizing Jesus, which is going to make all the difference in anything that you do in your flesh and in this world. If you want to see progress, find it first within your heart and it'll show up in your flesh. Amen. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. Someone say, engage my what? Engage your spirit. And you might say, well, what do you mean? What's my spirit? You see, it'd be very difficult to engage something that you don't know exists. So we're putting emphasis on you are a spirit to help you to begin to recognize and accept and embrace the fact I am a spirit. I do have a body and I do possess a mind. But I really am a spiritual being. My mind can think 2 + 2 = 4. My body, I can clap with my hands. But there's more to me than thinking out of my mind and clapping with my hands. There's a real person that lives on the inside, and that is the real you. And it says you must engage the real you in pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. To be simply and honestly yourself means you have to recognize your spirit. God is sheer being itself. I'll say that again because I did a poor job of getting that out. God is sheer being itself. And then the next word is spirit. In other words, God is spirit. What is spirit? It is a sheer being. In other words, it is a real person. It's just of the spiritual materiality instead of the physical materiality. And that's what you are. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirit, their true selves in adoration. That's awesome. 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 Let me give you these scriptures real quick and we'll end today. James 2:26. It talks about the body without the spirit is dead. See, you're not just a body. The spirit is what gives life to your body. I'm telling you what I'm talking about right here, let me just throw this in. What I'm sharing, these truths right here, this is divine healing right here, 101, divine healing. Why? The more you're aware of your spiritual being and that God lives in your spirit and that your spirit feeds your body eternal life and substance that causes sickness and disease to depart from you and brings back all kinds of molecular structure to your body because God is the originator of your DNA and he knows your codes inside and out. Becoming conscious of your spiritual connection to God is the same thing as saying, my body's being healed right while I talk, right while I meditate, while I walk in the park and honor God and find everything about grace, I'm being healed. Why? Because the more you connect with him, you connect with the healing power of Jesus Christ. Acts 7:59 says, this is Stephen talking, and he, at the end of his conversation, while he was having rocks thrown at him, he said, receive my spirit. He didn't say, receive my mind, receive my intellect, receive my will, receive my body. He said, receive my spirit, because the spirit is the real him. Luke 8:49, in the Stern translation, it said, but he took her by the hand, talking about the little girl, Tabitha, who had died. He took her by the hand and called out, little girl, get up. And her spirit returned. Her spirit left and she was dead. He said, little girl, get up. And the spirit came back into the body and made the body get up. I saw that happen in Connecticut, Newtown, Connecticut, years ago, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. There was a man there that was 84 years of age. And right in the middle of my service, his body flew back. That death rattle in his throat gurgled it out. He actually lost his bowels. You know, there was a mess. And just literally flopped back in his seat and he was gone. There was a nurse there that went over and there was no pulse or there was no breath. He was gone, no heartbeat. And all this conversation went on and commotion went on and I was up preaching and I don't know, maybe it's just my stubbornness of wanting people to pay attention. But I said, hey, everybody, pay attention right here. Now I say to that man right there, the life of God comes into you and you are perfect. And when I said that, he's flopped back like this. He's gone. He's dead. When I said that, he went, oh. And he came back like that with big old eyes and he looked around and said, what's happening here? What's happening here? And at that moment, the paramedics came and they took him out into the back room. They did every test they could find on that 84-year man and said, you got a brand new heart. That afternoon, they turned him loose. He went home and chopped down a cherry tree just like George Washington. Come on, somebody. That's too good. Amen. That's the gospel. That's Jesus. That's the life that returned back into her body, which was her spirit. And then 2 Corinthians 5:6-8 says, to be at home in the body is to be absent from the Lord, or to be with the Lord is to be absent from the body. See, it's one or the other. We want to be aware of our spiritual being. So as I recap real quickly, number one, the breath of God is your spirit. And that's breathed into you by our Father God. Made in the image of God, just like him. Amen? It's just like that individual that you want to hire. Well, you don't have anybody to choose from, so God had the choice to be able to make someone. He made us just like himself. Adam and Eve, they were adults. Which means what? We have the capacity to commune with God on the level of God. Now, we didn't make ourselves that way. God made us that way so that we could actually have communion with him and receive of his revelation and walk with him and talk with him. And it won't be boring for God because we just don't get it. God made us like himself, adults, so that we could fellowship. And that's the purpose of life, enjoying the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And number four, the real you. Who is the real you? That's your spirit, the real you. Well, we've gone long enough today. We'll stop right there. Let you know, of course, there's a YouTube channel called Adventures in Grace you can subscribe to. You can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us, or go to jimhockaday.com, which is our website. But we want to come back and go a little further with this. I think the next twist and the turn that we make, it's going to cause you to tilt your head like that little dog that looks at you, and you're going to have to think a little bit. But we'll go slow so you can get it, because I want you to be able to become aware of what's around you. And it's not just people and the tangible world of the flesh. It's God. See you next time.